Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, because we got some dope interviews. So now let's get into the podcast. They listening to me. Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you tuned in to another episode of Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? So now that I'm up so early in the morning, you know what I'm saying, to do this podcast with this special guest that I got, hella straight from California. California love. Y'all know what's up, man. We got Josh Monday. He's a Christian hip-hop artist. So look, let him tell you a little bit about him. What's up, Josh?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing, man? Very nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm a Christian rap artist, and I'm also I have a podcast as well. It's called Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. And I'm also Army veteran. And if you guys want to come check me out, check it out at Josh Monday Music and Podcast on YouTube, or you can just look up Josh Monday on Spotify or Apple or anything, and you'll see my music and my podcast up there. So thank you for having me on, bro.
No doubt. So being an Army veteran, let's get into it, man. Where you from? Where you grew up? Which we know you're from California, but where you grew up, man, and what made you get into Christian hip hop? And then we will talk a little bit about being an Army veteran also. So what made you get into hip hop, period? Right? I'm gonna say hip hop, period. And then you tell me how did you go?
I started rapping, bro, at the age of 14. So now I'm 38. So I kind of I have some experience, you know. So when I was 14, I just started jumping into cyphers, trying to find all the hyenas. You know what I mean? I wanted to just find out the best rappers, jump in the middle, and just learn how to freestyle first. And then when I was 16, I got in the studio in L.A., and I started actually learning how to format a song, write hooks, write verses. And I was in actually South Central L.A., which, you know, in
South Central. Real-
Yeah, there's real hyenas out there, not even just rap-wise.
I already know.
I was down there. My mom would just drop me off at the studio with my producer and let me just do my thing for a couple hours. And then I would, you know, I recorded like 9 songs, 10 songs with DeSwab Records. And I just kind of went from there, you know. And I never got signed back then, but I got close. But I met Suge Knight at the Staples Center before. I got to chop it up with his manager, Cedric Garland, which is, you know, one of the gentlemen in that was in Death Row. I got close to getting signed by them, Texas Universal, a few different places. But yeah, man, at the time, obviously, Eminem was out, and they wanted me to make a name for myself before they would sign me. So at the time, I was young, man. I was only like 19.
Yeah, so, and then you got to think, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. It's like, when Eminem hit the game, I'm just gonna be honest, man. It's like when Eminem hit the game, man, it kind of took the white rappers like out of the game. It was like, if you ain't doing this, we don't want you. You know what I'm saying? It's like Eminem had it sold up for so long. If you was a white hip hop artist trying to get in the game, it was like
you gotta be held to the standard.
Yeah.
You gotta be so tight at being able to mix words and be able to verbally just crush people. Now, I had that freestyle-wise, but like when I was, it was hard for me to become a freestyle artist, hit the studio, and actually learn how to format my songs and then come with the delivery. So it took me time to be able to learn that. You know what I mean? I know you know how it is, bro.
No doubt. Hey, I'm 36, right? So,
okay. Yeah.
And, you know, so you think, doing all that, man, you got to understand, like back then, right? If you talk about it, the ground was different, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's been an independent, like everybody say, oh, it's so easy to put music out now. It's so easy to, and you know what? That's the reason why it's a lot of garbage music too. You know, whatever. People do what they do. But my thing is this, when you get an outlet where you can put so much stuff out so quickly, you don't have to really, you know, put your mind, make it art. You just put it out. It's so much easy access to music now that a lot of good artists get overlooked. You know what I'm saying? And I remember back then, and I know you remember, when they had CD stores and stuff, right? And
I used to love that.
Right, going to the CD store. Even look, even if you didn't buy it, you can go into like the FYE or the block, and you put the headphones on, listen to the samples of the music before for you even bought it. You know what I'm saying?
I used to love it, bro. That was for me. That was way better than what you have now. You don't even have a package gift or a package deal given to you. Like back then, you had a CD cover. Yep. You read the lyrics.
You read the lyrics.
The artist. Yeah. For sure, bro. Now. Yep.
The booklet.
Like you said, it's so saturated, bro, the game. And people think it's so easy to make money off of music too. But you could, if I do the math, you know what I mean? Let's see. Cause some people try to tell me, you know what? Hey, I got this deal for you. I could advertise you on Instagram and it's for $100.
And okay. Let me tell you this. All right. So exactly. People tell you that, oh man, I can do this. Look, let's be honest. I own a record label, Heat Level Entertainment. I own a filming company, Heat Level Films, which is our first film, right? You know, I write, produce, direct, and screenplay this movie, right? I did all that, and I even took the pictures for the poster. You know what I mean? Yeah. But okay, and I tell people, okay, and then, you know, owner of my podcast and also SoDifferentShirts.com. Now, I always tell people this. Yeah, it was always like, oh, I got 1 million streams on YouTube. You know, they put their little 1 million streams playing. Like, this ain't got nothing to do with hate. Look, man, 1 million streams on Spotify, Apple Music ain't nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
true.
People making money off like the merch or they trying to bring you to buying other things. But far as music, you know, making the money is like the machine is making the money off all that music. And they signing these people to these deals where anything they do, they own a piece of it. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And a lot of these cats want the fame, right? They is like, oh, I want the fame. So if you want the fame, cool, we'll give you the fame. We'll take the money. But what I like back then is I sold about 6,000 CDs hand to hand, $10 a pop.
Yeah.
You know, in the streets.
Talking about out of your trunk. You just made the CD, made copies, open up your trunk, started selling them out of your trunk. So that's what.
Yeah.
That's what you had to do back then. And like Ludacris, Master P, they that's how they all started, bro. They were all selling it out of their trunk. Even though Ludacris was actually on the radio as well.
Yeah, but Chris
Love. Once you show the record company you can sell 10,000 units out of the streets, then you go and you show the record company, hey, back then, you know, that I sold 10,000 already out of the streets. Then as long as they have, you know, they know for sure you did, that's when it's easier for you to get signed to a record label back then. See, I didn't have that back then because I was only 19, 20 years old. I didn't really know how to do what I do now. You know what I mean? I didn't really have that. I hustled, but I didn't know how to like make it happen. So,
but okay. Now I can say the pros and cons, right? Uh-huh. Okay. Back then it was like, you had to get on that grind. You had to, it wasn't no, I mean, post this, post that. You had to travel. You had to go here. You had to go there. You had to go there. You had to go there. You had to get your music out. Right.
Yes.
Now it's like post this, post that, post that. You can get to a wider audience, you know, but at the same token, even though you get into a wider audience, it's hard for people to find you because it's so much, right?
It's saturated, bro. The game is saturated.
And the reason why it's saturated because there's so much music out there, but it's good for people that's in the age group of us too, because now you can be, you know, in your early 30s, late 30s, you know, late 20s, and actually make a name for yourself, get you a fan base, and be cool and live off what you're doing. And, you know, you got people that's buying your merch and all that stuff. So, you know, you got the pros and the cons of it also. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
People
with a million. Okay, so I'm gonna tell everybody right now that's listening. I mean, you might see someone on Instagram with 15,000 followers, and then they only follow 200 people back. You can buy that pretty easy. You know, it's like you could just buy. Like people offer me all the time to even get 1 million streams on Spotify for like $1,500. You could do all that, but it's not even about that. Like when you do that, all you're doing really, I mean, you're buying people to listen to your song. I mean, it's like. What does that do, you know? So
yeah, it's not And then, okay, if I'm gonna pay $1,500 for a million streams, when you get a penny on penny on penny on penny on penny on penny,
yeah, 0.008 of a penny.
Yeah, you feel me? So I get a million streams. It's roughly, okay, I done did the math on it. It's roughly about $5 every 251 streams.
Yeah.
Now, look, just think about that right now. 251 streams, you getting $5. Think about it. Back then, if I sold 251 singles, which a single was out like what, $2.99, $3.99 back then?
Yeah.
Look how much money I would have made back then for selling a single 251 times. All right. Yes, so you're gonna give me $5. Sure. So if you say a million, you're not even making what, $1,000?
You know, if you divide that into 0.008. It's gonna make you
like it doesn't add up like at all.
Yeah, it doesn't at all for sure. And it's like what they do is they like me. I'm even at a even worse level because YouTube. They're I'm a Christian artist, so they're not really pushing Christian music right now. So I'm actually at an even more of a disadvantage. So when I put my songs out and it's under Christian hip hop. It's like, it's not even going to get as much traction. Now, if you put a song out like WAP or something like that, then it's going to start blowing up. You know what I mean? And what that record company does is the first day, they probably pay that $1,500 so that when you look at that video, it's got 10,000 likes and a million views in 2 days. So then people go, oh, it's already got a million views. So then they start sharing it. But it's all, a lot of it is fabricated. Because if you take that MC or that woman that's singing or rapping and you bring her into our studio and you try to make her go independent again and she doesn't have that record company or that machine backing her, lyrically, she'd get, you know, obviously she'd get ripped in half, right?
Yeah.
I'm there, all it is literally just a machine behind it backing that. And then also, like, I'm a Christian and conspiracy podcast host, so you know there's an agenda behind a lot of the stuff that's coming out as well.
Oh, let me tell you something, being a black man in America. You know, let's be honest. Yeah. You know, and I'm gonna keep it all the way real, man. You sit higher up than me, man. You're like you're my superior or something. But honestly, real talk is it's like this, right? They push that. They're gonna push that agenda of violence. They're gonna push an agenda. They're gonna do that because what makes money? Sex, drugs, and violence. You know, you know, people say sex sales. Let's be real. We know sex sales. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But what sells more than drugs and violence? Like, just think about it. You know, all of it comes in one, sex, drugs, and violence. Now, me being just a hip hop artist, you can listen to my songs and I'm very, you know, unfiltered of what I say. But you got to listen to my music. I know, like the song I got out now. Matter of fact, you can get that album. It's called Only Time on all platforms. But the video that I released called Show No Love.
Listened to that this morning, bro.
Yeah. So if you look at the first of the video, you see the phrase I put up. And when you listen to the song, you see I'm talking about how, man, you can die in these streets, man. Trying to love and trust everybody, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
It's a meaning.
It's a meaning. So meaning guess what? It, they're not going to push my song.
No.
Because they like, hold on. First they're like, I'll show no law. Then they start listening to lyrics. They like, okay, he's giving a message. Okay, let's push that to the side. You know, and that's real honest. One thing I like to say is, I got a song that got my son in it. If you go watch my videos, you know.
Something about the tears. I can't remember what it was called. What is it called?
Yeah, I got one. It's tears? Called, the one with my son, it's called Jokes on You.
Jokes on You. Okay, yeah.
26,000 views on that one, right?
Yeah.
And I'm giving a message. So that's the type, like, you know, I'm not a Christian artist, right? You know, I'm not even a Christian.
You mentioned God on that song, though.
Yeah, I mentioned God.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, for example, okay, I'm a Muslim, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm a Muslim. So, but a lot of people, you know, I changed my name last year, right? My name is Joaquim Abdullah Talib now. But which you'll see it on my film posters and stuff. But the thing is this, God is God, right? You know, you believe, you know, it is what it is. Like, we don't never, I don't do all that. Oh, so you're a God. Man, I don't do all that. I don't get into all that. You know, I got a family member. You know, I'm not going to even put on blast, but, you know, she does that, you know. You know, she got out, they got, they got their own platform, whatever. And, you know, I'll hook you up to them if you want to, but I'll tell you that after the podcast. But, you know, and this is my thing. If I'm doing hip hop and what I'm doing hip hop about and how my hip hop is, and you're like, well, look, I don't like the cussing and stuff like that. This is what I do. Since you got a conspiracy podcast, you go understand what I'm coming from. Words were created by us, okay? Today, I can make up a word and say, this is what this is. This is what this means. All right? So when people say, oh, you're cussing, you're saying the F word, you're saying the MFing word, you're saying the B word, I say, okay, go ahead and do your origins on those words. Okay, go do the origins of where them words come from. What did they mean before than what they mean now? And what people give me, people will say, well, look, you know, God say you don't supposed to swear. God say you don't supposed to cuss. Well, ask me this question. How do God define what's a cuss word and what's not? Let's so be real, actually, right?
And Peter, bro, he actually says dumbass. Okay.
Okay.
So, so that's an example of what you're talking about. Now, I personally, I don't cuss in my music. And I just, it's because like Paul says not to be involved in dirty jokes. So he also says that in the Bible too.
Yeah.
Right. So I personally don't do it because for some people it's vulgar, you know, it's a personal choice. However you want to express yourself. Sometimes when you're saying like, it's hard for me because I gotta make my lyrics. Like, you know, when you want to use like a crutch, you know what I mean? Like people use that. And when you cuss, that's like using a crutch. Or when you say the N word, like people use that as a crutch. Right. Yeah. So I personally have to like format my whole music on giving glory to God, teaching a lesson, just like you do, like a message in my music without cussing, which I used to do before like crazy. I used to never write raps without cussing. But in the Bible, actually, it does say dumbass. OK, and the word that you were talking about, the B word, that means actually female dog. So if you do look at the origin of the words, yes. But
But like you said, we live in the way of the world, right? The laws of the land. Right. Yeah. And, you know, any book you, you know, whatever it is you are, you understand what the laws of the land is. And but the thing is, like, is when people. It's always personal preference, right? You grew up in a world where these words mean this. So if you're doing the type of music that you're doing, you're like, look, I'm going to keep them words out of that because this is what I'm doing and this is what's going to be put in front for. You can't go into a church and be like, MFing, God, he loved me. You know, you can't do that, you know? You're not going to get accepted by doing that. But I agree with you. And I disagree with you on one thing. The N word and the cussing as a crutch. Yes. A lot of artists use it as a crutch when they don't know how to express themselves instead of doing that. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, you had lyricists that could do it, but it was just an expression. If you listen to Notorious B.I.G., of course he didn't have to cuss.
No.
You know, Tupac, you know, even Eminem, let's be real, they didn't have to cuss. Their wordplay was crazy.
Yeah.
But the reason why some cuss words were put there because it was the expression of this is how I feel. You know, it was more of an aggressive thing. Like if you listen to Show No Love, if you really pay attention, I don't cuss to the end of the song when I'm talking about how the guy tried to rob me and the girl I used to mess with.
Yeah.
You feel me? That's what you hit because I'm mad. You feel me?
But if you listen to expression, I get it.
Yeah. So it's that's the expression, right? And now me, one thing I don't do is I don't just go through a song and be like, "So mother, I'ma F you up any mother." Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, man, say can you say something else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, can you imagine if someone jumped in your studio and you're like, and he was like telling you he's the best artist ever, and then and he jumps in there and he starts off the song like that? You're gonna be like, oh, okay, you know, like it's. I'm not saying that every single time someone uses it,
I'm not gonna record them. Yeah, that right now.
Yeah, for sure, right? You need to start out with something that's intelligent. You know, I can tell your wordplay. I can hear your wordplay. I could tell that you have influences from people that are lyricists and not just. Going out there just trying to mumble rap or anything.
Trying to be a little yachty.
Your wordplay.
Trying to be a little yachty.
Even in my rap music, like even in my Christian music, you know, like I've learned how to format to where I have wordplay and all that stuff. And like double, you know, I'm double timing in some verses and I'm doing stuff like that. So I try to bring the secular style into the Christian audience, which some of them are not used to that.
Can I tell you something? A lot of Christian hip hop get flack from a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
You know, Lil Cray. I listen to Lil Cray, right? I know you probably know who Lil Cray is, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, he talked about the flack that he gets from being a Christian hip hop artist from the Christian community. I can't remember what interview, but he was talking about he did a song with Ty Dolla $ign. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he does songs with a lot of hip hop artists and stuff like that. This is my thing. If you say anything, Christian, whatever, right? Okay, so he's Christian, he's doing rap. And he said, okay, I'm gonna bring Ty Dolla $ign on my song, and this is gonna be a song about God and how coming up and stuff like this. Ty Dolla $ign never cussed. Ty Dolla $ign was talking about his life, but in the eyes of the so-called Christians, we'll put it that way, because all Christians ain't the same, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not here to bash Christians, you know, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't like the fact that he put somebody like Ty Dolla $ign on a song. They're like, well, look what he talk about. Well, did they ever think that maybe when Ty Dolla $ign got on that song, I don't know if you noticed, you ain't really heard Ty Dolla $ign doing really a lot of vulgar stuff lately at all.
Yeah.
Really to pay attention.
Might have helped him a little bit.
It might have helped him a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Because if you listen to Lecrae's story, he talks about how he used to rap and how he came to be a Christian artist. So you never know what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you say, oh, leave them all out to dry, I'm saying that's you can't do that because you never know.
Let me give you an example. So Jesus, you know what I mean, when he was on the earth and he saw people that were sinning, he said he put the line in the sand and he said, if you know, if he put their names on the sand and said, if you haven't sinned, you know, cast the first stone, right? So he was hanging out with sinners and he was defending people and he was hanging out with tax collectors. And people like also he picked Paul, for example, in the Bible, and Paul was actually out there killing Christians. Right. And then he ended up converting to being Christian. Right. So Jesus was not looking for that those people that were all sheep just walking in line. He tries to find that one that's lost. Right. And he brings them back, and then the heavens will rejoice. They'll be happy. Right. So maybe what Lecrae was trying to do was try to take Ty Dolla $ign and, like you said, and trying to format him to maybe becoming a better person, or maybe he was trying to open up Ty Dolla $ign's audience to Christianity. Yeah, you never know what Lecrae's
and maybe he just wanted. He maybe just thought he was dope, and he was like, "Hey man, I want to do something with you. I think you're talented. Yeah. I don't agree with the music you do, but I think you could come to this." And you never know what conversation was had for that to happen. Okay,
for sure.
And so that's the reason why I'm like. And Lecrae a big artist, you know, he got a big platform, you know,
he's big right now.
And to be a Christian artist like him, to get the type of love that he's getting, I'm saying, you don't see, look, let's be honest, man, you ain't going to see a lot of hip hop artists and stuff doing no songs with no Christian rap artists. You know why? Because they feel like that'll diminish their brand. So this guy is getting people to do this like, who's really winning? Like, if you really think about it, is it good or is it bad really winning? Just think about it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, back in the day, they didn't do that. You already know
For sure.
They ain't for the get.
I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Bizzle. Have you heard of that guy? His name is Bizzle, bro. Look him up. And he's hard, bro. He's lyrically.
Is it B-I-Z-Z-L-E?
It's B-I-Z-Z-L-E. Yeah. Check him out. Listen to him. He's a Christian artist, but he's got skills. I mean, I think he came from the street. So he has that street mentality, but then he comes and brings it to the Christian scene and he's got wordplay, delivery, you know, he's a good package deal, man. God is great for that gentleman.
So okay.
Listen to him at some point, if you have time.
Since we are on the music thing, so what we're going to do right now, man, we're going to play a little snippet of your song, man, and if you don't mind introducing it, that will be even great, and then we'll get it played. So
the song is called Signs of Things to Come, and I'm on the hook, the second verse, the hook, and then the third verse, and the song is basically about end times, and it's talking about coronavirus and everything that we're going through at the moment. I made it in 2020, so there could have been some stuff I could have updated to see what's going on now. But yeah, you guys check it out, and definitely, man, support.
All right, that's what's up. So we've been playing a snippet of the song, everybody. And this is Josh Monday featuring BT, and it's called Signs of Things.
Can you imagine sitting in the park in the heat? Stomach empty, starving to eat. Palms are sweaty, heart starting to beat. About to get beheaded because you didn't take the mark of the beast. Bill Gates doesn't care about black teens. He's trying to alter our DNA by giving us vaccines. These elite Satanists are the psychoists. They're preparing our bodies to accept the microchip. We even got liberals trying to become like Rambo. Going to Bass Pro, buying up the guns and ammo. Instead of sporting flannels, now they're buying camos. If you don't think this is end times, just read the book of Daniel. COVID-19 got me Googling my next Ruger. And going to target practice to become the best shooter. I'm questioning Sandy Hook and I'm a 9/11 truther. That's sick of getting duped by that goof Anderson Cooper. What you think they're doing right now? They testing us. These stimulus checks were distributed to invest in us. It's population control. They want less of us. They want to take out the weak and only keep the rest of us. I'm battle tested.
Yeah, man. That's that Josh Monday featuring BT. It's called Signs of Things to Come. Hey, man, if y'all want to listen to that, y'all can actually get it on YouTube. And that's Josh Monday. Josh Monday Music and Podcast, man. Y'all make sure y'all go subscribe to that channel, man. And y'all make sure y'all check that man's out, man. He's doing this thing with his Christian hip hop. I love it, man. That's what's up. I love it. Okay. Now let's I want to get your top four hip hop artists. Okay. That's now. I'm saying Christian, however you want to do it. We're gonna do the top four hip hop artists now, because this Heat Level Podcast, we don't do top five, we only do top four. So let me know your top four, man. Let me hear them.
My top four of all time, right?
No. I want your top four that's doing a thing now. And then we can get your top four of all time.
Okay. Yeah. Top four. Well, I'd have to say, I mean, these are going to be secular artists because I'm just hip hop, man. So I would definitely say Eminem.
Okay.
Probably number one, just because I've, just breaking his lyrics down and everything I'm breaking down on him. Number two, I would say Jadakiss. I know.
He killed it.
Yeah, he just showed that he's there.
Yeah. Okay. Eminem, Jadakiss, number three.
I would say Andre from Outkast, probably number three, even though they're not doing a bunch of music right now.
All right. So we'll do this. This will be your top four of all time. Okay. Cool. What's number four?
Number four of all time. Shoot, I would have changed it up, but I just don't respect a lot of the artists that are out right now, bro.
We'll do all time. Then let's do all time all time. Top four, all time. Number one.
All time. Number one would be Tupac.
Tupac.
Number two would be Notorious B.I.G.
Three, you know, them two always change. You know, some people's notorious.
Number three would be Eminem. And no number doubt. Four, I think I would say Jadakiss, bro. That's just my top four. I'm saying
them are all straight up hitters. Now the top two, it changes. Some people say Notorious, then Tupac. Some people say Tupac, then Notorious. And to be honest, my of all time is Tupac first. Tupac. Number two for is sure. Notorious B.I.G. That can be the biggest argument in hip hop ever, but. Yes. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I think too. And look, not saying that Tupac was more lyrical than Notorious B.I.G. I think Notorious B.I.G. lyrical wise was way better of a word player than Tupac.
He's a great storyteller.
Yeah, but Tupac passion with the music and the energy and what he brought, it just
versatile. I think he was so versatile. He could do a love song. He could do a gangster song. He could do a poetry song. He could do a song that's back taking up. And everything that he was speaking, people were like hanging on every single word. So he had a message behind his music that was different than, you know, like besides like, and you know, I'm a white person, but it's like he had like something where he was like, he had like the whole community behind
everybody.
Him,
like
army. Right?
I know people that don't even listen to hip hop that listen to
him. They love him because he's a poet, bro. Like he started out as a poet, and he learned how to make songs and aggressive. I really respect him as an artist because I'm an artist and I know how much it takes to write songs. And sometimes when I used to sit there and listen to his songs and I would write songs because he would be able to because I would just feel what he was saying. DMX too, he's another one, bro. Like he would give me chills.
DM,
like,
oh man.
Like, certain artists can give me chills. And if they give you chills, you know,
man, like right now when you said DMX just gave me chills. Cause honestly, DMX, man, is the life that it's just like.
Well, you got the voice. Your voice. For me, like, and then also you're able to rhyme words that like me, like when I'm rapping, I have to like rhyme words. Cause where are you from? What city are you from?
I'm actually from Nashville, Tennessee, man. Believe it or not.
Okay, so you got that Southern voice, bro. So you're allowed to rhyme some words that I can't rhyme because of your accent.
Yeah. Like, hit the flow. Yeah.
like 2 Chainz, he rhymes words that I don't even, there's no way I could rhyme that word. Like, so it's.
You know who else does that? Voice, bro. Eminem is good with that wordplay. He'll rap words that don't even go together. And you're like, how do you make that even go together? You know? It's good. Hey, look, and that's good. That's good lyrical content, man. That's good. How, man, just listening to Jadakiss at the verses with Dipset, man. Yeah. I was like, God. Like, you know what I'm saying? And this is the thing. This will make a good hip hop artist when they're rapping and you like, you don't know what they about to say. You know, a lot of the new hip hop artists, and like I said, I'm not bashing new hip hop artists, just not my thing. You got some that are good. You got people like Cordae, go check him out, C-O-R-D-A-E.
Yeah, I know him.
You know, you got a Token, so you got
Token, he's cool.
Yeah, yep. Dax, you know, I listen to Dax, Hobson, So, you know, but like I say, you got them guys like that, but I'm saying when you don't know what an artist about to say next, it's like, okay, you like you said, you hanging on every word. Like,
I tried to do it, dude. I tried to do it when I heard that Jadakiss verses. I tried to see what he was going to say next, but he surprised me. But the artists that are nowadays, like I said, I'm not bashing them either. They have a hustle to them as well. But I just... I'm not getting the chills from them, and I'm not looking forward to the next song. Like, oh, I need to find that next song. Like, I used to try to do with the other artists. So
yeah, you're right.
I'm not a secular. I don't really listen to secular music anymore as much, but I'm an artist though. I'm a Christian, but I'm a rap artist. So I still lyrically, I love hip hop and I love it. So I'll listen to it and find out what they're trying to do with it and be like, all right, I like this or I don't like it, you know?
And a lot of it, honestly, man, a lot of it just not likable.
Okay.
Like, it's just,
so we were talking about like, okay, so what people fail to realize, we were about to get into it, but so the prison system back in the 80s, what happened is these record companies all got together. There was like a secret meeting and they were pushing for these conscious rappers to be out and for like NWA and for like the gangster stuff to come in, because these big record companies invested in the prison system and they wanted to fill the prisons up to 90%. So they had stocks.
Yeah.
So what they did is they made money on each artist sales, and then they made money on each person that went to jail from that artist selling. So they, what they did is they got people to, because like when I used to get in a, like when I used to want to fight somebody, if I was listening to a song as I was fighting, it would make me feel it some type of way, right? Like more angry or do something better. So people that were gangbanging and stuff like that on the streets, when they start listening to that music back then, it was pushing people into actually doing those things, right? So that's something that people need to realize. So all these conscious rappers, these Commons and all these people, they got pushed to the side and they started pushing that gangster music, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with their music.
But you're right.
It's affecting people's lives. There's people that that like they don't understand that, but what they're doing when they're gangbanging and all this stuff is there's people that are in prison that are doing life. That are kind of running these sets, right? So they want, you know, misery enjoys company. So they want you to be in prison with them. So it's
And just to go with what you're saying, you absolutely right. And you know, and this is the time. And it ain't just hip hop either, right? You have music like if you go to country, you know what they push, right? You know, they call it broke country, but you know, they pushed the beer bar, I'm depressed when my girl leave me type life. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You know, where if you listen to that, you might want to go pile. You know whiskey. What I'm saying?
Well, you want to go and start drinking whiskey and following them.
Yeah.
And those people they're just like the gangbangers that are out in the music industry. Yeah. They're not even actually banging. So those people that are talking about drinking whiskey, you're right. And the people are out there drinking it. So what you got to do, if you're going to be idolizing these artists, do some research on these people and find out what they're really about. Because if you're like, oh, this person shoots somebody, now I want to go shoot somebody. But then you find out they're not even a shooter. They don't even know how to shoot a gun. Me, I've been in the military. I shoot 38 out of 40 when I with the AR, and I know how to actually shoot. I'm not a gangster at all, but I know that probably some of these people they're not even shooters, but they're talking as if they're that shooter, right?
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm gonna be honest, like film. Since I am a filmmaker, I think that they do the same thing with film too. You know, they're gonna push their agenda the way they want to. So it's like, okay, I don't know if you remember this. You know, well, yeah, you do. You know, we 80s babies, right?
Let's go, yeah.
In the 90s, remember, how many black films came out in the 90s in theaters? Mm-hmm. Major motion picture black films came out in the 90s. But most of them were what?
Yes.
Gangster films, right? Boys in the Hood, New Jack City, Trespass, Menace to Society, Jew.
You see what they're trying to push on the community. I'm a Christian artist, okay? So I pray for everybody, man, that's feeling that feeling that they're hopeless and all this stuff. But what I tell you guys, I know whether you're, you know, if you're leaning towards being Muslim or leaning towards Christian, that's
or
up to
Buddhism,
you.
Buddhism, whatever you want to do. Yeah.
You have to find your own spiritual path. But what I'm telling you guys, I used to be, when I was in the high desert, I used to be that guy that was dealing, you know, coke, snorting coke, partying with women, doing all this different stuff. But what it is, I went to the military and I learned discipline, right, guys? So I learned my foundation became God is my foundation, and then discipline, right? So every morning I come and I work out. That's what I use to take my aggression out. But I just tell anybody that's listening right now that's maybe in that life, trying to be a hustler, trying to be selling crack, dude, you got to, you know, you got to find your spiritual, you know, please, guys, you have to, man. I don't want to see you guys in prison. You know yourself. You've been in there before.
Yeah.
You see
I've been
what's
there.
Going on. Like if you watch, you know, if you understand how people's mindsets are that are trying to get you to be in there with them, you know what I mean? You need to sell those drugs. You need to kill that person. You need to do this. You're actually all those people that are telling you that aren't even going to come visit you when you're in prison anyway. And they're not even going to back you up.
Not at all.
So guys, please, man, just find a good foundation. You know, the military for me is what got me to go from being crazy partier, doing all this stuff. And then God as well. to becoming more disciplined and structuring in my life. So if you guys are out there and you have nothing going on and you're 18, 19, 20 years old, I definitely suggest you look into, you know, maybe the military or something to get some discipline in your life.
Or karate. You know, I'm in karate too, right?
Yeah, MMA. Yeah, MMA is a good thing, man. A coach, he can just make you into a disciplined person, dude.
It ain't even about the fighting, right? It's about the discipline in the fighting. You know what I'm saying?
Amen to that,
you know, and you know, because you got a lot of control, your anger, control a lot of stuff about yourself. You know, you got to learn how to do that. All right. So basically, yeah, karate, stuff like that, man. That's a good thing for discipline. And like you said, the army and stuff. Now, you know, me and Uncle Sam, we don't really get along like that, but you know,
I used to not get along with Uncle Sam either. And right now that I'm out of the military, I'm glad I'm not still in, because I'm seeing everything that's going on with the, I don't even want to say the word, you know what I mean? The JAB and all that stuff they're trying to enforce on people. So
I'm gonna be honest with you. I did a podcast, with a guy who, you know, it's going to come out, you know, you'll be able to watch it, you know, about, you know, he came out as a gay, whatever. And you know, we just was having a talk and I was just like, you know, what you do is what you do. You know, my thing is I got to respect you as a person, because at the end of the day, you know, you're still something that God created, right? And I cannot, for example, I don't know where you're going, you don't know where I'm going. I don't think I know. It's, I could be the best I could be, and I could spread the word of whatever I do. If it's up for you to take that, it's up to you. If not, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing that I can actually do to make you go the way that I'm going, you know.
Sure.
And like you say, you know, like you got a conspiracy podcast. Look, man, we can talk about a mass incarceration of black men. We could talk about how when in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan changed the laws. Look, we could talk about Nixon.
The CIA. The CIA dropped the crack off. Yeah. They're dropping off guns come on, in the
man.
Hood.
Free Ray Ricky Ross talked about it. Man, hey, it's a movie called Kill the Messenger. It's about the guy to help prove that the CIA was doing what they was doing when it came to the drugs and stuff, and he actually helped Free Ray Ricky Ross get out, and you know, Free Ray Ricky Ross, like, the CIA was giving me dope. So you got to remember, man, a lot of that, all that stuff was put in place to where it's at now. And when you go to the black community, it's a lot of what, single mothers, that's in prison, guess what? You go to out California here, go there, when you go to the black neighborhood, you know you in the black neighborhood. You know what I mean? And it's crazy how you can just go to a neighborhood and be like, oh man, this the hood. You know, because it all looks the same, no matter what state you go to.
It's tough, bro.
And me being a black man, I think it starts with us. You know, we go out, you know, we go out there, you know, speaking for the black and brown, no doubt. You know, we go out there and we say the police doing this, doing this. But you know what we need to do? We need to clean up our own environment. First and foremost, we need to stop having you go on my street growing up, it's all broken down cars, oil spill, flat tire, bullet holes. And, you know, if we clean up our neighborhood and they don't put the same ordinance in the black and brown community like they do in the upper white communities. They don't. Like, the ordinance might be, you got to keep your grass cut. You can't have a car in the middle of the road. You can't have, you know, broke down stuff in your front yard. You go to the hood, them ordinances is not there. We don't want no liquor store in our hood. No. Yeah. A lot of black communities, they don't even go against that because they like going to the liquor store in the hood. They like going to the discount tobacco. You are in California, but I guarantee you can go to the upper part of California. What you're not gonna see is a discount tobacco, a Title Max. You know, am I lying? You ain't gonna see no Title Max. You ain't gonna see
Rialto, where I live, it's all over. We have it all over here, but you're talking about like you know, certain areas like Beverly Hills,
Chino
Hills, anything that has hills behind it. Yeah, you're gonna find that, bro.
Exactly. So, and we got a Brentwood. Y'all got a Brentwood, California, too, but we got a Brentwood and Madfield, and we got Bellmead and Franklin, which is money. Man, it ain't no discount. They don't even got signs in the air in Franklin. Like all their signs from restaurants has to be brick in the ground. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy, right? And it's just different. And that's the way they want their community a certain way.
Well, they want people that they want to keep the poor poorer and the rich richer. So the rich people aren't buying lottery tickets. They're not buying cigarettes. They're not buying, they're probably buying liquor. I'm not saying they're not drinking, but
yeah, but guess what they go to? Lifestyle. They go to a liquor bar.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to a liquor store. You feel me? You know what I'm talking about. And guess where their liquor barn is? It's nowhere close to their houses. They got to drive in the city to get it.
Yeah. So I think personally what it is from a Christian standpoint, you need to be the spiritual leader of your home. You need to be obviously you physically need to be there. Stop chasing so much money. People are always gone in their career, but you need to be the spiritual leader of your home, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian or, you know, you need to,
Hindu,
need to
make sure you Judaism, teach your kids, whatever. Man. Yeah.
You got to teach your kids a foundation. You don't want them to do the same thing you were doing, make the same mistakes that you were making. I definitely don't want my kids to do the same thing I was doing. So that's what I think it is, bro.
I tell you something, and it's real. I work a lot. My girl don't work. I got a lot of kids, put it that way. You know, you know, all the way up teenagers, and then I got a 11-month-old. He'd be one.
So you're in the same position as me. I have a 10-month-old, and I have a 2.5-year-old. So I'm the same way, bro. I got some young kids, so I do my podcast. That's why I do it so early. I try to do it when they're sleeping, so that my wife, it doesn't bother my wife in any, you know. So I always do my podcast early in the morning, but
that's good because you know you 6, I'm 8 right now. We're like 2 hours ahead of y'all, but I do a lot of sacrificing, you know, to build a better life. You got to think when I got out of prison, I was homeless. So I've been grinding up. So everybody say, man, I built this studio, by the way, as you see.
Yeah, it looks nice, bro.
You know, the booth.
God is great. God is great, bro.
Yeah, you know, so all this.
I'm so happy for you, bro. I don't want to. Okay, so I'm very happy for you, bro, because that's the thing about you have to be grinding right now because you were in prison, you know? So you're trying to go out there and be like, hey, I'm going to go try to get a full-time job. It's going to be you're at a disadvantage. So
you're working the system in a different way.
Which is awesome, bro.
I did.
God is great though, bro.
No doubt, all the time, man. I did the 9-to-5. I know when I first got out, I knew I had to, man. I was making $8 an hour on my first job.
Yeah.
But $8 an hour was a lot when I'm in prison, only getting $60 a month.
$25 an hour.
Oh, what? $8? What? I got a $7.75 raise. But I grind, bro. I grind. Yeah. So a lot of people be like, look what you got. Look what you got. I grind. I didn't make no excuses. I knocked on this door. If they close it, I knocked on the next. Now I'm an independent contractor. What I do, I quit my electrical job a year ago. I work as an independent contractor, and I don't care. Yesterday, I worked for 7 hours, and I made $1,200. Thank you. Yeah. One day, you know what I mean? And I be trying to tell people. I be trying to help people. I be like, hey, man, you can do this. You can do this. I'm going to be honest with you. Let me give you a little thing about a 9-to-5, right? I don't knock people that got 9-to-5, okay? But when you say you're trying to do this dream and you're trying to push and be an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs don't have 9-to-5, okay? Because to be an entrepreneur, you got to take risks. And what I've learned, especially when you change who you are, you lose a lot of people, friends and family.
Yes.
Especially when you're going on the right path. And, one thing I learned is a lot of people do not want to get out of their comfort zone. And one thing about what I do, if I don't work, I don't eat. But if you had a 9-to-5, just say you're working at a warehouse, you're making $15 an hour driving a forklift, and the warehouse just say, oh, the lights went out. You're still making your $15 an hour. There's how we ain't got no product in. Let's wait till a truck. You know, people want that security. But when you try to be an entrepreneur, you know, like me and yourself, you know, and when you're going out for that, man, brother, it's a lot of sacrifices that have to be made for your kids, kids to be straight when you leave this earth, right? Because the only thing you can leave is a legacy.
Yeah, that's true. It. And you want to leave the word of God in your kids. You want to leave, you know what I mean? You want to make sure that they're prepared for when they actually have to put their feet down and put the boots to the ground. You know what I mean? So that's another thing. Your legacy, yes, definitely.
But yeah. Because your legacy is going to be where your kids hang on to.
Yeah.
This is what my dad was, and this is why I am who I am today.
Yeah.
Because I followed the footsteps. People say the footprints in the sand.
Yeah.
I want to be the footprints in the sand for my kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what's up. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. All right. Yeah. So my guy, we going to come to our first segment of this podcast. And the name of this segment is called Under the Bus. Baby, basically, I'm going to give you two names. And you got to tell me which one you are throwing under the bus, okay? Now, since you are a Christian hip-hop artist, I was like, should I give them some hip-hop artists to throw on the bus? No, I'm going to do it even better. You know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you two preachers. How about that one? Here we go. Now, we have Bishop T.D. Jakes, and we have Joel Osteen. So which one of these preachers that you are throwing up under the bus, brother? Let's get it.
I would say Joel Osteen.
Ow! The white man threw the white man up under the bus.
What do you think I'm going to do? No, I'm just kidding.
No, so everybody.
T.D. Jakes. Hey, T.D. Jakes. I've listened to T.D. Jakes, you know, and because I try to find out what they're about, you know, and Joel Osteen as well. I mean, I don't listen to him like, oh, I'm going to take his word for it. I just want to find out what they're about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is this what Jesus is really trying to spread? But yeah, bro, it's
you gonna take Bishop. So hey, now you done made the decision. So Bishop T.D. Jakes, you have been chosen by the Christian hip hop artist and Army vet Josh Monday and Mr. Joel Osteen. You have been thrown under the bus by Josh Monday.
That's both prosperity gospel, bro. So I mean, both of them are not doing what God wants. Like Jesus went inside the temple and he flipped over the tables because the people were trying to sell lambs to people because they would bring in a lamb and say, oh, that's not good enough. You need to buy my lamb. Right. So Jesus came in, he flipped the tables over because of the profits that they were trying to make off of the people that didn't even have as much as the people that were selling it. Right. Some of the people were poor. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it, man. That prosperity gospel is Jesus would come and flip their altar over, you know. That's not how it works, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. I ain't mad at you, brother. All right. So look, so now we are down. I'm glad you did that, man. Hey, one shot for Bishop T.D. Jakes, man. One point for the black people in America right there. Now, but anyways, so we're going to get to the last segment, man. This is the last segment. Okay. I'm doing both of these segments back to back. I'm like, hey, let me try it like this. You know what I mean? Okay. This is the last segment of my podcast, and it is called Brutally Honest. Basically, I ask you a question, and you got to be brutally honest. If I think you are lying, I will roast you. Okay. And I'm going to roast you without cussing you out because you are a Christian hip hop artist. There we go. So this is the question, brother. Have you ever cussed while you was in a religious place? And I say religious place because everybody ain't got the same religion, but have you ever cussed while you was in a religious place?
Speaking to somebody or just in my head?
Oh, that ain't what I asked you.
Oh, I would say yes.
You have. Yeah. Did you regret it afterwards?
Of course I did. Yeah, but what happens is I'm not cussing when I'm talking to somebody, but in my own head sometimes what happens is that, like, when you're in church, the devil's going to try to take your attention away. So I actually, and sometimes my mind starts writing raps as the pastor's talking to me. And yeah, I have, bro. I'll be honest.
Okay.
That doesn't happen often, but it's happened before.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. You know, have I? I totally have. I didn't have when I was growing up. You know, of course, I grew up Christian. You know, my grandmama Christian and stuff, and even me being Muslim now. But still, I was a bad kid. So I used to cuss the preacher out. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm back.
Hey, honestly, I think I did that. Maybe when I was in my early 20s and stuff. Do I do that now in any religious place? You know, I don't, you know, I don't cuss in the mosque. I don't, like you said, do my mind be roaming and stuff? Of course it does. You say devil, we say shaitan, which is the same thing. You say God, we say Allah. Allah just mean God in Arabic. You say Jesus, we say Isa. So, you know, the thing is, everybody be like, oh, well, you know, y'all did. Look, man, we believe in Jesus. We believe in all that, Mary, everything. But, you know, a lot of people bashes Islam when they don't know. But, hey, it is what it is.
I got a podcast on Black Hebrews, bro, Black Hebrew Israelites. So if you guys want to listen to that episode, we're talking about how there's Africans that are actually the true Israelites, if you break it down, right?
Let me be honest with you, brother. I'm on that. You know that, because I talk about all that, especially when it comes to Egypt, how the color got diluted from so many years ago.
How different would the communities be if they knew that there were God's chosen people, right?
I'll be honest with you. It will be different, but you know what I think it'd be? Before the time of where we at, it's a reason why they did what they did back then. So I think if everybody get that knowledge, they will try to diminish it, murder, kill, and take away, so that will not be brought back to the forefront. I'm just being honest. That's what I believe. You know what I did find out? And Michael Jai White, I got it from Michael Jai White. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I didn't know that an African brought a form of martial arts to China and Japan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they learned from him. But you think it came from there. Yeah, he said, do your history. And talking about Shaolin monks, he said the real Shaolin monks came from Africa, and he said Shaolin monks is like a myth or something, but he's on a Vlad TV podcast talking about it. I said, I didn't know that. And you know, he like
for sure
5-degree black belts and different. So he learned the history. And I'm like,
you're not gonna know that. You're not gonna know that. They hold a lot of stuff like that. On my podcast, I kind of go over that. You know, like what they hide, you know, because they don't. Obviously, they like United States, for example. If you look at United States on a map back in the 80s, United States was huge. You look at United States now on a map, it's tiny because they wanted to make United States look bigger, like we're more powerful. But it's just the history is definitely I'm learning a lot doing this podcast, bro. I mean, I got 23 episodes out, and every week I'm learning stuff that you probably would never even think in your life, bro. It's crazy.
And you know what? I'm gonna check it out. You know, we gonna link up, man, and try to, you know, do some stuff, man. I'm actually coming out to LA in October. I'll be out in LA.
Hit me up. I'm right next to LA. I'm probably like 30 minutes out from LA. So
I'm gonna hit you up, man. You know,
With traffic, I'm like an hour and 10 minutes away, but hit me up.
I'll be traveling all the time, man. Miami Beach, actually, if you go. I'm going to tell you where to get everything. So tell the people where they can get all your stuff at.
All right. If you go to Spotify or any music distributor, you just look up Josh Monday and everything will pop up. It'll say Josh Monday Artist. And then if you look up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just look up Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. It'll come up. I got 23 episodes out. I have a new guest on every single week. And also I'm featuring my brother on it. And if you want to check out any of my stuff on YouTube, it's Josh Monday Music, all one word, and podcast. So if you guys want to subscribe, help me out. I'm just like this gentleman here, Joaquim. He's he's trying to grind. Also, guys, if you guys could, if you go to Apple Podcasts, can you please leave him a 5-star rating? Because that's what, that's a good thing. When I make, that's a good thing for us, man. We're trying to get our stuff out. We're just a small podcast trying to do our thing, man. And we're trying to get big. So help him out with this 5-star rating, and also leave him a comment saying that you love his podcast, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I've been telling y'all, man, like, comment, share, leave it, man. Please. So y'all already know what's up, man. This is Joaquim. If y'all want to go listen to the music, you go to Joaquim on any music platform. That's Y-Q-E-E-M. That's Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. And if y'all want to go watch the music video, you can go to Joaquim TV. That's Y-Q-E-E-M TV. That's Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. And y'all already know this Heat Level Podcast, man. You can go HeatLevelPodcast.com. That's HeatLevelPodcast.com or Apple Podcasts. Type in HeatLevelPodcast.com and I will pop up. You will see my ugly face. Yes, I will be popping up. And if y'all want to see the visuals, if you just not want to listen to the audio, you can go to Heat Level Podcast on YouTube and you get to see this guy's face. Yes, he's a white guy. Yes, he's a Christian. And yes, he chose a black preacher over a white preacher. Yes. Am I tackling race right now? Yes, I am. Because it's a joke right now, because we love each other as people. Thank you. Yeah. So y'all make sure y'all do that, man. Y'all comment, like, share. Man, this podcast, man, we're getting started back. And I'm glad that I was able to get y'all Josh Monday on here. And
Thank you, bro.
Do you got any last words that you want to say to the people before we go? Anything of inspiration?
Yeah, guys, if you are not waking up in the morning, working out, or doing it in the afternoon, I suggest to get physically strong. Start dipping into your Bible or Quran or whatever your spiritual is.
Book is.
Start dipping into that. Start reading, man. I read the Bible, man. That's the truth. And also, you guys just need to be aware, you know, I would love it in Jesus's name. And that's, you know, who I pray through in Jesus's name for you guys to get as much as you can out of this podcast that we just spoke. And please, guys, if you are being guided and misguided in the wrong direction, by anybody, you guys need to understand that, you know, pray before you do something and find out if it's the right thing. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I love all you guys. I really do. I love everybody. And thank you, Joaquim, for having me on, bro, and asking me to come on. I appreciate you.
Hey, no doubt. Hey, look, y'all. Is there anything else I can say? Yes, one more thing I can say. Y'all already know what it is. Like I always say, I'm about this thing. Every time they in, they ride. Every time they hear this beat. Every time they in the spot. Every time I'm on they street. They listening, they listening, they listening to me. They listening, they listening, they listening to me.